It's time for the offering. And four people express their reasons for giving or not giving. The first chooses not to give because she doubts how wisely the church uses what it gives. The second gives because of the recognition he might receive. The third, driven by guilt, hates giving because she feels God is never satisfied with what she has to offer. And the fourth enjoys giving because it's an act of worship and an opportunity to say thanks to God.
Well, it is Sunday morning again, isn't it? We're at church, and seems like I just got settled, and here they bring the offering plate. It looks pretty big to me, too. I don't know why they think you have to put a lot in or what, but anyway, I guess the church has to pay its bills, too, you know. Although, it looks pretty nice around here to me. I mean, look at this carpet, and the pews are all padded, and nice chairs, and a nice pulpit area there in oak, and look at these beautiful flowers. I mean, all this has to cost a lot of money, seems to me like. But we might as well kind of be in the embassy suites, you know. So nice here. I know this stuff isn't cheap, you know. It costs lots of money to do that. But I bet if you become a member here, they'll want you to put something in every week. Every week they'll want you to put something in the office. I just don't like to have pressure put on me, but this place must be rolling in dough. And you know, what can my $2 or $3 do anyway when it seems like they have so much here? And you know, I don't really know where this money's going to here at church. Hopefully in the right place, but you know, who knows? Might be some kind of scam or something going on. You know how the world is today. You never know what they're going to do with their money. Well, I'm sorry, God. I think I might just have to pass today. I know you'll understand. This place looks pretty good compared to my living room.
Oh, yes, the offering. What a wonderful time of the service. It's something special about being able to participate in the funding of this great institution. And I might add that I have a very big part in the funding of this great institution. I am amazed myself with my generosity. I just know that I could be such an example to others. But how can I be an example to others if they don't know what I'm giving? I guess I bought these deluxe super-sized checks, ordered them up, and I thought maybe these might attract a little attention. Everybody can see that real well. I guess I could lay it face up on the offering plate. But somebody had to come up with that silly rule that you have to fold your check. Maybe I could just kind of place it on the edge of the rim a little bit, and maybe people would notice it more. Yeah, that probably wouldn't work. It'd probably just fall off anyway. Hey, that's a great idea. I could put the check on the edge of the rim, and then as it's being passed along, it would fall off on the floor. And then somebody would notice, and they'd contact one of the ushers, and they'd say, Usher, there's something fell out of the offering plate. It's on the floor. Maybe you better look and see what it is. And so the usher goes over to and picks it up and looks at the check. And about that time, Pastor Joe would probably look down and say, Usher, is everything all right down there on the floor? I know you're taking up the offering, but there seems to be some confusion. What's going on down there? And Usher would say, oh, Pastor George. Pastor Joe. Pastor Joe. This big, large, generous check from a Mr. J.B. Dollar fell on the floor. And it's a good thing we retrieved it, Pastor, because it's a very large and generous check. We don't want to do without this one, Pastor, but everything is okay now. Everything is just fine. This check will go right back in the offering plate. And then maybe Pastor Joe would invite me up on the stage with him and say, "Oh, JB, you're such a generous, bountiful giver. You're such an example to this congregation. I commend you." And then he might even give me a big hug right in front of everybody. Oh, what a day that would be. Well, here goes whatever happens. I'm going to place it here on the rim and pass along, and we'll just see what happens.
Oh, no. It's the offering plate. I hate this part of the service. I feel like this thing is just looking at me saying, "Feed me!" I'll bet everybody's watching me, too. I'll bet that couple behind me is looking over my shoulder to see how much I'll put in. Stop staring at me! Oh, there's nobody back there. I'm in the back row. Why am I so paranoid? What's the big deal about giving to the Lord? I know I should give more. I'm trying, Lord. Really, I am. But what do you expect of me? Listen to me. I'm riddled with guilt. Just because I didn't give anything that week I was on vacation 2 years ago. I know. I'll make up for it now. Okay, after 2 years. It's all right. Here, this should cover it. This should cover it. Okay, God. I give up. You caught me red-handed. I didn't separate my trash yesterday. I didn't recycle. Here. This should cover that. No, here. Here, take more. It's all I got. See? Well, here. I have credit cards. Take those. Here. Go ahead. There's a couple hundred bucks left on them. Oh, gosh, there's nothing in there. Go ahead. Take my wallet. Just take it all. Just take it all. It's just not enough. It's not good enough. I have to give more. Okay. Here. This is for lying to my mother when I was 13. It's not enough. It's not enough. Here. Take my rings. All my rings. That should cover the night of my senior prom. Now, I know there's more I need to give for. I know there is. Oh, I went 10 miles over the speed limit on the way here today. I don't have anything left to give. Here. Here, Lord. Take my shoes. You just take my shoes and I'll walk home today, barefooted, in the gravel, just to prove how sorry I am. There, God. Is that enough? It's all I have today. I hate this part of the service.
Well, here it is, Lord. A chance to say thanks. You know, Lord, this has been a good week. It really has. I know it hasn't been perfect, but every day I've had enough food and I've got a warm house that I can come back to every night, and I've had a hot shower every morning, except for Thursday when the kids were here. But all in all, it's been a pretty good week. I appreciate that. And, well, this is a chance that I've got to be grateful for what you've really given to me. You know, Lord, I matter to you. And you know what?
I matter to you too. But all in all, you know, just a couple years ago, I would have been on Sunday morning in my office building up my little business, and look where I am. I've got a chance to go ahead and be grateful and give back something that you have given me. Wow. Thank you for your presence in my life, Lord. You know what? This is for you. I must have left my wallet in the car.
Sure you did.
Oh, that was amazing. Good morning if you're a guest this morning. Am I on?
You will be.
All right.
Thank you. Okay, Pastor. Everything's under control.
I want to see the size of your check, brother. All righty. Are we on? Good. Thank you. Well, good morning. If you're a guest with us, I am Pastor George. I want to welcome you to church. I mean, Pastor Joe. Sorry. I'm the memorable Pastor Joe. That's right. Pastor George was more memorable, yes. Let's open our Bibles to Proverbs chapter 3, please. The book of Proverbs. I love skits. And, you know, they say so much in such a short period of time. But I want us to look at a verse of Scripture. We're talking about God and money. And we're kind of, you know, we kind of introduced this subject last week. And so now we're going to go pedal to the metal, okay? Now we're going to get to the real meat of what the Scripture says about this topic about God and money. So I want us to just read a verse of Scripture, and then we'll pray, and then we'll proceed with the message. Proverbs chapter 3, please. We're going to read a couple of verses, verses 9 and 10. Verse 9, honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of how much of your increase? How much of your increase? Is that a Joeism or is that God's word? Thank you. So your barns will be filled with how much? Say that again. I've got a different. Overflowing. Okay, mine says plenty, overflowing. And your vats will overflow with new wine. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this time together, Father. Thank you for your word. Thank you, God, for us being able to have some sense of humor in this topic, Lord, where it doesn't get too heavy. Father, it's not a high-pressure message at all. Father, it's just an exposure of your word and an encouragement for all of us. We thank you for this. We invite your Holy Spirit now, Lord, to speak to human hearts here this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. We have a slide that I'd like to show you at this time. Came across this several years ago. In fact, I think it's probably about 25 years ago that I saw this. Who can tell what's happening here?
Being baptized.
Being baptized, and what's happening with this wallet? He's holding her up high, right? Saying, Lord, you can have me, but you can't have my money. Can that really happen? But is that really biblical? If the Lord has our hearts, he's going to have what? Our money. He's going to have all of us, right? We can't say, Lord, you can have all of me except for my credit cards, my, you know, everything that Miss Nola put into that offering plate, her shoes, and so on and so forth. You know, church family, let me give you the power thought number three, and that is that giving is a matter of the heart, and tithing is a trust issue. Giving is a matter of the heart. It's not a matter of your income. Can I get a witness in the house, please? Whether you make $18,000 a year or you make $180,000 a year, it's still a matter of the heart, isn't it, church family? Amen? And tithing, what is tithe? The tithe is 10% of your income, which the Lord says belongs to Him. Amen? I mean, he said in the book of Leviticus, I'm trying to quote as many Old Testament references, just for you, brother. He said in the book of Leviticus, the tithe is holy, it belongs to me. And please understand, some you know, I've heard it all. I've heard all the arguments against tithing. People say, well, that's under the law, and the law, you know, I'm free from the law. Well, you know, tithing did not begin in the law. Tithing began with Abraham, with Father Abraham, when he gave a tenth of his possessions to this mysterious guy known as Melchizedek. King and priest, king of Salem, and priest of righteousness. All right, so tithing precedes the law. You know, any Christian that comes to me and says, Pastor Joe, I appreciate you preaching on that, but I'm telling you, that is a tithing of the Old Testament. Well, I'm telling you right now, you obviously have not read the Old Testament, because it precedes the law. And Jesus said, listen carefully, in Matthew chapter 23, verse 23, he told the Pharisees of his day, he said, you guys neglect the weightier matters of the law, justice, fairness, and mercy. And then he says, you go overboard trying to cut your spices, your dill, and your cumin to tithe those. He said, you should not neglect the weightier matters, but you should continue tithing. How many of y'all like that you get the word of God here? Because if I give you the word, you can't argue with me, baby. I mean, you can try, but I'm giving you the word of God, right? So listen, tithing is a matter of trust, and that is the trust issue is this. The Lord says, give me 10% of your income. You're like, oh no, Lord, I can't. How many of y'all have ever had that battle? That were you when we were first in this, you know, oh Lord, 10% is too much, Lord, it's too much. But once you do it and you take, you know what tithing is? It's a step of faith. It's a step of trust. And once you take that step of trust, then you say, you know, God's been faithful to me. How many of y'all, by a show of hands, can say, God has been faithful to me? Right? How many of y'all would say, he returned the tithe back to me in ways that I never imagined? Amen. Amen. Who is well supplied today? Amen. God wants to meet all of our needs. But church family, I asked you a question last week, and that is, are you a blessable Christian? Are you a blessable believer? And let me say here, if you're not a believer, what are you waiting for? Jesus loves you. Jesus wants to be in a relationship with you, in a personal relationship with you. Let me look into our video camera. You know, if you're out here listening to me, thank you for tuning in so very much. But I'm telling you, my friend, if you don't know Jesus personally, or if you once had a walk with him and you're no longer walking with him now, you could say in your heart, you know, I was once walking with strong with God, but I'm not now. You know, you can always come back. God allows U-turns. And my friend, if you've never accepted Jesus Christ into your life, now is the time to do it. Amen. He is waiting for you. He loves you. He's going to accept you with open arms. Well, what about the prom night that Miss Nola talked about? Jesus is not holding that against you. He's saying, come to me. How many of y'all would say amen to that, church? He's saying, come to me. But you know, tithing is a matter of trust. Do we trust the Lord that he's going to give to us? Now go with me to Galatians chapter 6, please. Let me go to Galatians 6, and I'll make allusion to the Proverbs 3 reference, because it's important that we look at that. Galatians chapter 6. Now, since I've broached the subject or the topic of tithing, then we have to go to this verse of Scripture. I always like to go to it because I have found over the years in my time of ministry that some people, not all people, you know, some people get some really squirrely ideas about giving. Well, you witnessed three of them up here, or four. I love your parts, God. Oh, I believe, Lord, that I should get. Where's my wallet? All righty. Galatians chapter 6. We're going to read one verse of Scripture. I still hear some pagers rustling, so I want to wait so that we can all read this, okay? Galatians chapter 6. It says, verse 6, let him who is taught in the word share in all good things with him who does what? Teacheth. Those who are taught in the word are to give to the source of their teacher. Thank you, Brother Lau. Right? Isn't that what it says in that verse? Now, your translation might break it down a little further. I think the New Living Translation says those taught in the word should provide for their teacher. Something to that effect, Miss Nola? Share? Okay. Well, you know what that's talking about, baby? That's not talking about giving your preacher canned food. You know, I remember one year back in 2000, the year 2000, I'll never forget it. I was in a church in Kansas. They had a pastor appreciation month, and they said, bring canned foods. Well, a lot of the canned foods were expired. I want to say thank you. I feel very appreciated. Take me to the ER because of botulism or botulitum or whatever. Poisoning, food poisoning. Gosh, I felt really loved in that church. Not long after that, I said, deuces. Latest. So anyway, so we are to contribute to the teacher. Why do I bring up this point? Listen, church family, you're not giving to me directly. You give to the church. The church pays my salary. Once again, I'm happy with what I get paid. I really am. But let me say here, I remember many, many years ago in a church, I had one of our elders, one of the church elders tell me, Pastor Joe, I love your teaching. I grow. I get a lot out of it. You're awesome. And then he would say, but I take my tithe and I give it to focus on the family. You know what I wanted to do? I wanted to clench my fist and I wanted to lean back and pray for him. How many of y'all know that if you eat at Mama Chan's, you don't pay the bill at Crawford's Pizza? Is that plain enough, church family? You pay where you're fed. Yoo-hoo. Does that make sense? If you eat at Subway, you don't pay the bill at some other restaurant. It's that simple to me. But some people get these squirrely ideas that they determine where their tithe goes. What does the Word of God say? Let him who is taught in the Word contribute to the teacher or the church where the teacher is in. Baby, don't get offended at me. I did not write this. This is not the gospel according to Joe. But I will preach the truth. How many of y'all are happy that I will teach the truth? Amen. Well, that deserves a little better amen. How many of you are happy that I will teach the truth?
Amen.
Thank you. Amen. I was going to say, I hope we're not backsliding. Proverbs chapter 3, it says, honor the Lord with your wealth. You know, the Hebrew word for honor is the Hebrew word havad. Havad, a derivative of the word havod, which means weight. So my question is, do we honor the Lord with our wealth, with our income? How does weight have to do with honor? Do we put weight in the words of the Lord when it comes to giving? Do we put weight in the words of Jesus when he says, give and it shall be given unto you? Do we put weight in the words of Malachi chapter 3 verse 10 that says, bring all the tithes into the storehouse that there might be resources? Yoo-hoo. I'm just giving you the scripture, baby. Not trying to make you mad. Right? Do we put weight in that command? And let me say, tithing is not a suggestion. Tithing is not, you know, I've had discussions, and I remember when I was in college, I had a discussion with one guy that said, well, I'm in grace, and in grace I can give as much as I want. So I finally asked him, I said, what percentage of your income do you give in grace to the Lord? He said, oh, about 5%. I said, buddy, I'm ahead of you. I give 10%. At that time, I was giving 10%. Once again, people get squirrely, church family. Do we put weight in the words of the Lord? That's the bottom line. Some of us put weight in whatever Dr. Fauci says. I'm not saying discredit him. I'm not saying don't believe all he says. I'm just saying it's funny the things we put weight in. Some of us put more weight in the 6 o'clock and 10 o'clock news than we do in the Bible. I'm not saying us here, but some people do. How many of y'all have met people like that? You know, I had a father, my earthly father. He was all about it. To him, the 6 o'clock news and the 10 o'clock news were gospel truth. And the Bible was just, it's just, you know, it's just a couple of myths in there. And maybe you can glean a thing or two. But, man, you know, we're talking about, you know, Walter Cronkite. He's the man. I'm dating myself, you know. But that was what he put weight in. What are we putting weight in? Do we put weight in these get-rich-quick schemes? Oh, Pastor Joe, you got to get in on this deal. I'm telling you right now, because in 5 years, we're going to be millionaires, and we don't want you left out. I'm like, bye-bye. Hello. Yeah, send me a postcard from Hawaii. Nope, they were in debt in 5 years. All right, what am I saying, church family? This is what I'm saying is, do we put weight in the words of the Lord, especially the what some perceive to be the harder commands, and that is giving. So my first power thought is, giving is a matter of the heart. Tithing is a trust issue. Do you trust the Lord that when you take 10% of your income and give it to Him and His work, that it's going to come back to you, and He's not going to leave you all by your lonesome financially? Do we trust that? Do we put weight in His words? Now, in my pocket, I have a $10 bill. $10. Now, let's have fun with this. How much is a $10 bill in church? Oh, man, Pastor Joe. We're like, Brother John Bob, I want people to see my offering. God ought to be happy with me. I gave Him $10. Gosh, times are hard in the year 2020. I was furloughed a couple of times, so my $10 ought to keep Him happy and off my back for a week or longer. Let's take this same amount of money. Let's take it to the gas station. How much is $10 at a gas station?
Not much.
You fill your car and you see that $10 evaporate. Let's take it to the grocery store. Zippo. Zippo. How much is $10 at the grocery store? Let's take this to the Mouse House in Florida, Disney World. How much is $10 at Disney World? It does not even exist. You see how we see the same amount of money differently in different settings? On the one hand, we say, God ought to be happy with my $10 at church. But when we go to Disney World, man, we'll just spend 10 after 10 after 10 after 10 and not think twice about it. Can I get a witness in the house? How many of y'all still love me? Just making sure. All righty. Now, so PowerPoint number four, and that is, you cannot outgive God. You cannot outgive God. Who's proven that to be true in your life? Have y'all proven that? Listen, God will always give back. Listen, we will reap what we sow. We will reap more than we sow, and we will reap later than we sow. Right? Amen. Who's found that to be true? Especially that second one. You will reap more than you sow. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 says, he who sows sparingly will reap how, church family? Sparingly. And he who sows bountifully is going to reap how? Bountifully. Let a person decide within their hearts how they're going to give, what they're going to give, not out of necessity. Who's ever heard televangelists say, you got to give me, we're going to be off the air, you got to give? That's necessity. No, not out of necessity or compulsion. Who's ever seen a person tighten the screws and put the squeeze on you for your money? You got to give if you're every bit a child of God. Yeah. So, My point is, God, you can never outgive God, church family. You can never outgive God. Amen. Let's go to the last point. Turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 6, please. The last one is, you can give your way to a better life. Who believes that? You can give your way to a better life. Listen, nowhere in the scripture does it say that if you tithe, you'll become a millionaire. Never says that, but it says you will be well supplied. Well, Pastor Joe, I don't know why I struggled so much financially. You know, one thing I've never heard from tithers, I've never heard this from tithers. I've never heard them tell me, Pastor, I struggle. I have a hard time making ends meet. Pastor, I don't know why I struggled so much financially. I've never once heard that from a tither. Never. Now, sure, times can get hard. We might need to tighten our belt a little bit. Can I get a witness, please? But you'll always have more than enough. I remember when I was a hospice chaplain, my pay was determined on how many patients I would see throughout the week. And there were some weeks where our census was low. And before the week began, I was like, Lord, I'm praying right now that you give us more patients, more people that I can visit, because I need to make budget. And by the time that week was over, not only did we have more patients that I was supposed to visit, my boss asked me to do some extracurricular stuff, which put me way over the amount I needed. And the Lord, listen, church family, the Lord blessed me more than I had asked for. So listen, I'm telling you, I've never heard a tither say, I don't know how I'm going to make it. Have you? It's gotten very quiet. 1 Timothy chapter 6. Let's begin reading in verse 17 rather. Command those who are rich in this present age not to be haughty, nor to what? In uncertain riches? We are not to trust in, how does it describe riches in this verse? Very interesting. Uncertain. You cannot rely on money. Money cannot be your little g god. It cannot be your idol. It'll always let you down. And this, how many of y'all have found that money can buy you sex, but it cannot buy you true love? Money can buy you the best bed, most comfortable, most state-of-the-art bed, but it can't buy you sleep. Money can buy you substances to deaden your pain, but it can't buy you true inner peace. Amen. Church family, this is good preaching. Amen. Money is uncertain. We are to put our trust in God. Let's move on. Let's read on. It says here, not nor to trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who gives us richly. Everybody say richly.
Richly.
How many things?
All
things to do what?
Enjoy.
God does not mind you enjoying your money. Yoo-hoo. You work hard, you ought to play hard.
Amen.
I like that, Terry. Thanks for that hearty amen, brother. We'll have to go shooting again with your guns, brother. All right. Can we shoot at animals now? Do I have what? My girlfriend's looking at me with darts, so let's forget that. She's a bunny hugger. All right, let's move on. Let's move on. Let them do good. Verse 18, that they may be rich in what?
Good works,
ready to give, willing to share, storing up for themselves a good foundation for the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. I like the New International Version, so that they may, how does it go? That they may take hold of life that is, listen, truly life. Life that is truly life. Who wants to live true living?
Amen.
And it's not in the by and by. It's in the here and now. J- Jesus said in John chapter 10, verse 10, I have come that you might have life and life more what, church family? Abundantly. All right, I want to close with this verse, Ecclesiastes 11, verse 1. You don't have to turn there. I'm just going to quote it. It says, cast your bread upon the waters, and not many days after it will return to you. Let me rephrase that. I'm not rewriting the Bible. Let me rephrase. Give God your bread, and he'll put the butter on it as he gives it back to you. Who likes that? Give God your bread. How many of us, what's the word, one of the words we use for money? Dough or bread? Lettuce. Mr. Encyclopedia's here giving me all kinds of different clams, lettuce, moolah, cashola. All right, let's pray. How many of y'all were blessed with the teaching of the word this morning? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, for this time together when we can have somewhat of a lighthearted attitude, yet, Lord, understand also the seriousness of this topic and how it impacts our lives, Lord. We thank you for that in the name of Jesus. Bless your people. Bless your people, Lord. Thank you for it in Jesus' name.